You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Let's recap some breaking news with the NFL. Tom Pelissero was the first to tweet out that we have some Titans who have tested positive, 3 new player positives, and 5 new personnel positives for COVID-19. The Titans and Vikings, who hosted them on Sunday, will suspend in-person club activities starting today. Titans have the Steelers coming up. Did get this from Chris Mortensen. Chris Mortensen said that no positive test for the Vikings, but they're still going through the protocols with faculty shutdown, according to sources. The NFL had a statement and said that in part on Tuesday morning, Titans COVID testing results returned 3 new player positives, 5 new personnel positives. Titans will suspend in-person club activity starting today. Likewise, the Vikings, who played the Titans on Sunday, will also suspend in-person club activities. So you have 2 games that are up in the air right now. The Titans versus the Steelers, Vikings versus the Texans. And if the Titans can't practice until Saturday, I don't know how you can play this game. But here's something to consider. The Titans have 3 players who tested positive. They played the Vikings. Is it going to be fair? Let's say the Titans won't be able to play the Steelers and you can't make that game up. Would they forfeit that game? What if the Vikings game against the Texans is a forfeit because they're going to have positive tests there? They don't have that yet, but that wouldn't be fair to them. You know, the Titans passed it on to the Vikings, or if they do, then you can't say to the Vikings, you got to forfeit that game. All you did is play. The Titans were the ones that, you know, passed that on to them. So it'd be unfair if one of these teams gets stuck with a forfeit when it's not their fault with their players getting COVID. So just a couple things to keep an eye on. But Chris Mortensen tweeting out that when notified this morning, the NFL is taking the safe approach via protocols with faculty shut down, according to sources with the Minnesota Vikings. But you got 2 games that are right now up in the air. And I guess keeping an eye on when these teams can, if the Vikings have any positives, if they don't have positives, when do you find that out so you can start practicing or continue to prepare for the Texans? Meanwhile, the Titans, if you only have 3 players who've tested positive, you got the personnel people, and you got the Steelers coming up. So that's going on right now. And Titans Steelers is a big game. That's 2-3-0 teams. Kansas City Chiefs still undefeated. They handled the Ravens last night 34-20. The Tampa Bay Lightning win the Stanley Cup. Baseball playoffs begin today. 4 games. Clippers fire Doc Rivers. We'll talk to Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated on why the Clippers made the move now. And what's that mean for Kawhi Leonard and Paul George? And Mannix tweeted out something last night. He said, don't you make a run at Phil Jackson if you're Steve Ballmer. Doc Rivers is going to get another job. He'll probably be able to pick if it's New Orleans, it's Indiana, it's Philadelphia. But it feels like all of those teams still waiting. And they haven't filled those void yet, which is interesting. Because I don't know if they're waiting for somebody from, you know, these teams that are going to be playing for the NBA championship. But you probably had these teams thankful that they waited because they didn't think they'd get a shot with Doc Rivers. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. McLovin, the poll question so far.
We still have up, are you jumping off the Ravens bandwagon? 58% say no, they're still on. Do you want to switch to maybe a Doc Rivers NBA coaching poll?
What would it be?
Well, which opening would you take if you were one of these coaches? Sixers, Pelicans, Clippers, or Rockets? What's the juiciest one out there now?
Well, they're usually not juicy because that's why there's an opening.
This year, those are pretty good, though. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
That's some playoff teams.
I'm really curious about New Orleans. Philadelphia, it feels like the process has run its course. But you still have some big contracts. And the style that you want to play, it doesn't feel like Philadelphia has a style. And therefore, D'Antoni, that doesn't seem like it's the right fit if you bring him in. Indiana, there's a curiosity, but Victor Oladipo wants out of Indiana, from what I'm told. Okay, that's a big loss there. And I don't know what's going on with the Rockets. You know, are they going to try to trade James Harden? Are they going to, whatever coach comes in, are they going to be able to try to make that work? How do you work? Do you do it differently? No more small ball? They're all in on, you know, what their style is. I just don't know if you can change that. Doc Rivers, by the way, has had a winning record in 13 consecutive seasons. You go back to 2007. Over that span, only Greg Popovich has a higher winning percentage, minimum 500 games. It's Greg Popovich, and then Doc Rivers. Eric Spoelstra is a distant third on that list. But, you know, Doc Rivers just didn't win in the playoffs. And when you lose in dramatic fashion like he did the and the players deserve blame too. Let's not kid anybody here. But, you know, they weren't smart when it came to the bubble. Lou Williams, we know what happened there. Montrezl Harrell, you know, didn't play until, you know, the playoff games. You had Playoff P that didn't act like Playoff P. You know, said he was getting depressed in there. Kawhi Leonard, as much as we want to trumpet him as, you know, the best player in the game, he did not perform when they needed him. And you lose, you know, three games to one. You're allowing a team to come back. So I don't know if, and we'll talk to Mannix about this. You know, do Kawhi Leonard and Paul George still want to play for the Clippers, no matter who's coaching? Or are they saying, all right, if the owner is going to make a choice, a decision, which I think that's what happened. Steve Ballmer just said, look, we're going to part ways with Doc Rivers. Then do you hand it to Tyronn Lue? And is that enough for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard to want to stay with the Clippers? Like, that would be my, because this could go south in a hurry. It could go horribly wrong. And I hope somebody tells Paul George, yeah, it was get to the championship or bust this year, because it cost Doc Rivers his job. Because Paul George didn't think that the stakes were this high. And it turns out they were extremely high. And I was told from the beginning of the playoffs, if the Clippers don't make the conference finals, I was told the same thing with the Rockets. If they don't play for the championship, then you could see changes there. Certainly with Houston. There's a little bit of shock with Doc Rivers, but I'm not surprised. And maybe that team, and we're starting to hear this from the analysts, and this is what happens after the fact. Everybody had all the answers. Oh, you could see they didn't, chemistry issues, and you know they played great right before the shutdown. They had won 8 of their last 9 games. If they are playing a normal season and there's a home court advantage, they're not blowing a 3-1 lead. That wouldn't happen. But you're in the bubble. Everybody else has got to abide by the same rules and regulations, restrictions, and they weren't able to do it. And then I see that there's an article, like two articles that said they need a leader on the floor. Wait, I thought Kawhi was the best player in basketball here. What happened? We're so hypocritical. Just imagine if this happened to LeBron and his coach got fired and they lost, they allowed Denver to come back 3-1. We wouldn't be talking about the teams in the NBA Finals. We'd still be talking about, oh, LeBron choked, let his team down, not a leader. Kawhi? Remember? We had you know, the ESPN shows were saying Kawhi's more clutch than Kobe. He's better than LeBron. Better two-way player. Here's LeBron. Another NBA Finals. Somehow, people will go out of their way to be critical of this. Oh, yeah, but you beat the Miami Heat. Oh, yeah, but you won in the bubble. Whatever it's going to be, I'm sure. You know, oh, you weren't even the best player on your own team. Whatever it's going to be, somebody's going to spin it this way, unfortunately, instead of giving credit where credit is due. But, man, were we trying to usher in Kawhi Leonard. Is he going to be a top 5 player? What if he wins a title for a third team before LeBron does? Is he going to move past LeBron? I'm like, you guys are smoking something. Because we go, look at Kawhi's numbers this year. I said, that's what LeBron has averaged for his career. They'll find a way to make this a negative there. Yes, Paulie?
Saw an article, I don't know if it was LA Times, that what the Clippers need in their next coach, they need someone with a lot of NBA experience who's good with players and who's good with the media. And I was like, man, that sounds just like Doc Rivers.
Yeah, they should hire Doc Rivers. Oh, wait. people are jumping off my Ravens bandwagon. That's okay. If you jump off, you can't come back in. And if you do, you got to sit in coach. You do not. And you got to sit in middle seat.
Oh, like when you go to an amusement park, if you leave, you can't. Oh.
No, you can't come back. Can't come back. Yes, McLovin.
I have a quick left turn poll question that I want to get in because it's the only day we can ask it.
Okay.
Which MLB team really has to win pressure-wise to win this year? Is it the Dodgers, Yankees?
No, it's the Dodgers.
Well, what about the Padres? Because they don't know when they're going to get back in.
No,
they
don't have to win.
What about the Indians? Because they've never won one, and they don't look great.
No. It's the Dodgers. There's no one else.
What about the Astros to prove they can win without cheating?
It would be a nice story. Dave Roberts knows that his job probably hangs in the balance if they don't win a World Series. Or at least getting there again. You know, the Yankees, they've had injuries. They're trying to piece this all together. You know, there's pressure because they're the Yankees. Cleveland, nobody's talking about Cleveland winning. San Diego is a wonderful story. But there's no pressure on them. That's part of the beauty. The Dodgers have all the pressure. The Astros, now they can say, hey, we got to the playoffs. Okay, you got to the playoffs. Now, if they would win this year, then I think, you know, it would take a little heat off of them. But it's all about the Dodgers. Yeah, McLovin.
Any pressure on the Rays? Your Rays?
No. No. Nobody talks about the Rays. I have them, you know, representing the American League. I have them playing the Dodgers in the World Series. But this is all about the Dodgers. And not even close. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. I mentioned this at the end of last hour, that Jerry Jones does his weekly radio show, and it's 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, and he talked about how Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, and Tony Romo have the same ability as Dak Prescott to extend a play. And then Jerry was talking about Mahomes and Russell Wilson, Tony Romo, and you know, I had originally seen this report. It came in from Clarence Hill, who covers the Dallas Cowboys. And he sends out a tweet that says, Jerry Jones said Dak Prescott not being able to pull off the last play of the game against the Seahawks is the difference between he and Patrick Mahomes and even Tony Romo. They could have pulled it off. And then he goes, wow, did I hear that correctly? So I asked the guys in the back, I said, wait, grab the sound from Jerry Jones before I'm critical of Jerry Jones. I want to be fair to him. This is what Jerry Jones had to say about that final play with the Cowboys' loss in Seattle.
This guy's very quick and elusive and can get in and out of situations with his feet and buy time. The quarterback we played Sunday is of that kind of nature. He's very has great ability to get in and out and then make the play. That play Dak made at the end of the game that got intercepted. Well, the result of Dak's ability that let him get that ball off was really great and outstanding. Well, these guys do that, have that ability a lot. They are very quick-footed, and they have the unique ability to possibly take their eyes away from the field for a minute and then immediately focus back and see. Romo had that.
Okay. That wasn't a negative towards Dak Prescott. I don't know what Clarence Hill, and I have great respect for Clarence Hill. He's covered the Cowboys a long time, but I'm going to say that he heard it incorrectly. Because I didn't hear Jerry Jones saying Dak Prescott wasn't able to pull off the last play of the game against Seattle, and that's the difference between Dak and Patrick Mahomes or even Tony Romo. They could have pulled it off. He didn't say that. I think he was talking about Mahomes, great footwork, Russell Wilson, great footwork, and the fact that Dak even staying on his feet shows the incredible footwork. But I don't think that's a slight. And why would Jerry Jones be ripping his quarterback after three games? Yeah, McLovin.
You know how this thing works. Can we go back to the original story where he's ripping Dak Prescott?
Oh, I know. I mean, there's part of me that wishes that he would have ripped him, but he didn't.
He didn't pay him, though. Keep the controversy going.
Well, that would have, definitely. If he, like, you're bringing Romo in there on that? I don't think I would be shoehorning Romo in with Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson.
He goes on to compliment Quincy Carter, I think, his scrambling ability.
Yeah. Babe Laufenberg. He complimented every Cowboy quarterback. Ryan Leaf, every Cowboy quarterback, he complimented them except for Dak Prescott. Yes, McClellan.
Cowboy schedule gets a lot easier.
After
that. Same with the Texans at some point. But
well, the Texans are going to bring in Earl Thomas, but they played three quality opponents if you look at what they've done. I mean, they played Super Bowl caliber teams so far. And that's why, as much as we want to bury Bill O'Brien, they'll rise. They'll come back. They'll come back from the ashes here. They will. Yeah, McClellan.
They're one of the Antonio Brown rumor teams.
Yeah.
And the Ravens last night, there was some Antonio Brown chatter on Twitter that they could use that guy.
Yeah, these teams don't know what's going to happen to Antonio Brown. You know, he's going to be suspended. And, you know, is he clear from everything else? You know, does he have personal litigation going on here? I mean, you just can't go out and go, we're going to take Antonio Brown, because I don't know if you know when he's going to be able to play. Again. All right, we're going to take a break. Any other headlines that I missed here? Nick Foles named the Bears starter. Paulie insisted that I bring that up.
Yeah. Super Bowl.
Yep. Yeah. And yes, we did talk to Ross Tucker, the former NFL lineman, who said this yesterday on the show.
I really believe the Ravens run the ball down the Chiefs' throat tonight. I think they get after Patrick Mahomes. I think the Ravens have a great chance to win this game by double digits.
Okay. Ross did call in, and he got verbally spanked by us. But for those who didn't view it or listen to it as for entertainment purposes only, my apologies. But they're just there are times
Dan, can't you go back to talking about Jerry Jones? Made a mistake.
Nice. And the over-under was 54.5. Oh. 54.5. Final total was 54. All right, Chris Mannix will join us, and he thinks there's a possibility that maybe, just maybe, Clippers make a run at Phil Jackson. I don't see that happening at all, but I'll give Mannix the stage coming up next. 19 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. There's so many ways to get a good night's sleep. And, you know, compared to average sleepers, Sleep Number bed owners enjoy almost an hour's more sleep per night. And you spend one-third of your life in your bed. One of the most overlooked solutions to better sleeping is your mattress. Yeah, that's right. And that's why you need to check out the new Sleep Number 360 smart beds. Proven quality sleep is game-changing. Save up to $700 right now. They also have the temperature balancing benefits, so you both sleep just right. You don't wake up. You sleep comfortably throughout the night. Sleep Number, the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL, and you can shop your way to Sleep Number store, sleepnumber.com, or by chat. But you want to make sure that you have that great mattress, and it's two beds in one. So you're not arguing over the firmness of the bed. That's the Sleep Number that you have. My Sleep Number setting, by the way, 100. Just like all of those test scores that I never got 100 on. If I could go to 105, I'd go to 105. But I go to 100 right now. The official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL, go to a Sleep Number store or go online at sleepnumber.com/Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Got a new movie coming out with Adam Sandler. It's called Hubie Halloween. And it comes out, I think, on Friday on Netflix. And I shot this movie. I'm trying to think when I shot this movie. It was like over a year ago. I went to Cape Cod, and I play a school principal. And I'm in a scene with Sandler, and we're in the cafeteria. There's a food fight. And So it's Sandler, I think, is joining us on Friday. Is that right, Toddler?
Sandman joins us on Friday, and Hubie Halloween comes out the following Wednesday, October 7th.
Oh, October 7th. Just in time for Halloween. Yes, Paulie.
Dan, some of your co-stars, Steve Buscemi, Ray Liotta.
I did not see Ray.
Oh, that'd have been nice.
I didn't see Steve Buscemi. Unfortunately, did not see the star from Modern Family.
Oh, Julie Bowen.
I wanted to see Julie Bowen.
That'd be nice for everybody.
She probably wanted to see me as well, but I did not see her.
Shockingly, Kevin James and Rob Schneider are in it.
I know.
Michael Chiklis.
I did not see the commish. Yes, Todd.
Tim Meadows hanging around?
I don't know if he's in it.
I don't think he is.
He is in it. He's absolutely in it.
Is he?
Colin Quinn's in it.
Well, as Rob Schneider told me many, many years ago, once you're in forever with Sandler. And this is my 18th movie, I think, with him. And I think he's going to join us on Friday. Yes, Paulie.
Yeah, pretty much everyone's in.
Yeah.
Shaquille O'Neal's in it.
Dan Patrick, shut the hell up.
Am I listed there as being in the movie?
Hold on.
Because I went to IMDb, and I always like to see if I'm mentioned in these Sandler movies because I have a pivotal role, and I didn't see my name there.
What's your character?
I'm just the school principal.
Not Principal Patrick? Or
No, school principal. But I mean, other people are in there as like, you know, third person in a coffee shop.
I don't have you in the movie as of now.
See, I told Sandler that I'm not listed, and I'm, you know, he's gonna get an earful coming up on Friday, but Hubie Halloween is coming out the following week, October 7th. Any other information on there?
No, it doesn't have. I'm checking your IMDb, and no, right. We'll call them.
And Sandler's got a surprise on Friday, by the way. He's got a big surprise for one Danette on Friday. That's a tease. Mannix joining us?
He's ready.
No. Chris Mannix, the senior Sports Illustrated writer covering the NBA, joins us on the program. The big question here, Mannix, is how surprised are you the Clippers let Doc Rivers go?
You know, surprised, not shocked. You know, the disappointing way with which the Clippers ended their season, there were a lot of people that I talked to throughout the NBA that wondered if Doc Rivers was going to survive. You know, it was pointed out to me by several different league types that he had taken that team exactly as far as Vinny Del Negro had taken that team, never being out of that second round. And to blow a 3-1 lead for the second time, it begged the question. I did think because of the whole bubble environment that, you know, Doc would get a chance to run it back. Remember, you know, this team before the pandemic hit, Dan, had won 8 of the last 9 games going into the break. They were starting to play their best basketball of the season. Then the bubble hits. They have all sorts of problems in Orlando. I thought that would all be factored in and Doc would get another chance. But Steve Ballmer, who had his fingerprints all over this, ultimately decided to go in a different direction.
Do you think the Clippers know who their next coach will be?
I don't, you know, largely because of the length of this process. If they had let go of Doc 2 days, 3 days after the end of the season, I might have thought they had a plan in mind. As it stands, it took almost 2 weeks for them to agree to part ways, which suggests there were some, you know, some internal conversations there. I mean, I noted, you know, in a piece I wrote for SI.com that, you know, Lawrence Frank's name was nowhere near this. Lawrence Frank is the team president. You know, usually the team president makes decisions like this. This was all attributed to Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Clippers. So, I mean, I think they have some ideas, and we could talk about them, but I don't think they have a clear successor in mind.
Because you have Ty Lue there on the bench, and he's a viable candidate for a couple of openings there. But is he? Can he be part of, you know, the positive here, or was he also part of the negative here as well?
Well, Ty Lue makes the most sense because going into what is likely going to be either a shortened season or certainly a season that has a lot of issues going into it with the pandemic, you probably want to try to have as few bumps along the way as possible, as smooth a transition as possible. And Ty Lue being there all season long would make it a relatively smooth transition from one coach to another. The question I have about Ty Lue is that would he want to take this job? Now, Ty has been elevated to a job before, of course, you know, taking the job after David Blatt was fired in Cleveland. But this is an entirely different situation. Doc Rivers is Ty Lue's mentor. Doc Rivers is the guy that brought Ty Lue into the fold this year and made him one of the highest paid assistant coaches in basketball. So would Ty feel differently about assuming Doc's chair than he would taking David Blatt's spot? That's something I and other people across the NBA have wondered as this sort of plays out.
And I also wondered, too, I wasn't surprised at all that Doc was fired. I think that we really like Doc. But if you look at his resume with the Clippers, you know, he hasn't performed up to the standards of an elite coach. And then you look at Paul George and you look at Kawhi Leonard, and they got one more year there before they can be, you know, free agents here. Do they have to co-sign on this? Does Steve Ballmer say to Kawhi, I'm going to do this? Or I don't know if they're brought in a decision-making role here.
Well, all-star players have some role in the hiring of a coach. We just saw that with Steve Nash being hired in Brooklyn, you know, effectively getting Kevin Durant's seal of approval with that team. It's just a question of how involved they get in the process. So I do believe Kawhi Leonard and Paul George will be brought into this process, and they'll be given a chance to voice their feelings and their thoughts on who the next head coach is. All that being said, Dan, and this is more me, my opinion on this, I look at the Doc Rivers firing as a staggering overreaction at this point. I get what you're saying about how his teams have underachieved in the playoffs. I mentioned the two blown leads in the postseason. But this was such a unique environment, yeah, and this was such a difficult situation to succeed in. I mean, it was difficult for everybody, not the least of which was the Denver Nuggets, who had similar problems to the Clippers. But the Clippers came into the bubble with like half a team. They went through their seeding games with Montrezl Harrell in and out, Patrick Beverley in and out, Lou Williams, the whole Magic City thing with him. Harrell didn't play his first game until they got to the postseason. Patrick Beverley missed all but one game of that first round. I mean, there are no excuses for blowing a 3-1 lead, but I don't know how you look at this this experience and what happened. The bubble is saying it's proof positive that Doc Rivers can't coach this team. I would actually look at what the Clippers were doing pre-pandemic, when load management seemed to be working for them, when the team seemed to be peaking at just the right time. That, to me, is a stronger reason to bring Doc Rivers back than what happened in the bubble to fire him.
He's Chris Mannix, senior NBA writer for Sports Illustrated. You floated out the idea that maybe the Clippers do a drive-by with Phil Jackson. You think Phil is physically capable of being a head coach in the NBA?
I think that's the biggest question. 75 years old, just turned 75 this month, has dealt with myriad health issues over the years. Can his body hold up to the rigors of an NBA season? I think that's the first and foremost question that would have to be answered when it comes to Phil Jackson. But other than that, Dan, it does make a lot of sense to at least kick the tires on Phil Jackson. I mean, how many coaches out there are proven to have won at this level, who can take over teams with star players and succeed at the highest level? I know a lot of people will say the triangle is outdated in today's NBA game. I disagree. I think that Phil's offense can work in today's NBA game, and I think a guy like Kawhi Leonard could actually thrive in it in the same way Kobe Bryant thrived in it with the Lakers. And if you're Phil Jackson, isn't this job a little bit appealing to you? Aren't there reasons to go and take this job, Dan? I mean, Dan, it's been like a decade. I know that relationship with Jeannie Buss is still strong, but a decade ago, the Lakers didn't exactly, you know, throw Phil a retirement party on his way out the door. It didn't end in the most positive of ways with the Lakers. Phil's comfortable living in L.A., being in that environment. And Phil, even though he's the all-time leader in championships, can do something, or at least have the opportunity to do something with the Clippers that no other coach has done. And that's win three championships with three teams as a head coach. So if you're Phil Jackson, you know, your body's first and foremost, but if it can hold up and the Clippers call, I'd make a run at him.
And it doesn't help the Clippers situation that the Lakers are four wins away from another title.
No, it doesn't. But if you're Phil, doesn't that add a little bit more fuel to the fire? Like, the Lakers might be the champion this time next week. They're going to be looking to run it back next year with the same group. The chance to walk into Staples Center and win the championship. Like, Dan, you know Phil Jackson. You've talked to him over the years. I know him a little bit. I've talked to him over the years. You can't tell me that this possibility is not at least a little bit appealing to Phil Jackson. There are other variables, like I don't know how he and Jerry West would ever get
that
organization.
That was another question, because Jerry and Phil, that didn't end well either.
It didn't, but I mean, Jerry's not the general manager with that team. He's influential, but he is more of an advisor at this stage and a well-paid one at this stage. But it's not like he's running the organization. I think, look, if you're Steve Ballmer and you're not convinced that Ty Lue's the guy, and you're not convinced Jeff Van Gundy's the guy or somebody else that you have in mind, you've basically got a blank check that you can write your head coach. Why not take the Microsoft jet up to Montana and see what Phil Jackson's thinking?
How do the Heat win the finals?
I mean, I throw out to a degree the 2-0 record in the regular season, because those games were played without Jay Crowder, without Andre Iguodala, who were both acquired the trade deadline. Tyler Hero was playing behind Kendrick Nunn at that point of the season. There were very early games in the season, so I don't look at that as being a variable. I do think that the fact that Anthony Davis has dominated Bam Adebayo in these matchups is a factor. Davis has averaged close to 30 points per game against the Heat, shot about 60% from the floor against the Heat, where Adebayo has gone the completely opposite direction. He has about 11.5 points per game, are the second lowest against any team in the NBA during the season. How they win this series is if Adebayo can even up that matchup, if he can play the way he played against the Celtics. I think Crowder and Iguodala can cause some problems for LeBron. I think that zone defense, if they throw it at the Lakers, can cause some problems for some of those shooters. But if Anthony Davis plays the same way against Bam Adebayo as he did during the regular season, Adebayo vice versa, could be a quick series for Miami.
Always great to talk to you, Chris. Thank you.
You got it, Dan.
Chris Mannix, senior NBA writer from Sports Illustrated. Yeah, I don't see the Phil Jackson situation happening at age 75, given his health. He had a kind of a frosty relationship with Jerry West, who's not the GM. He's just a consultant with the Clippers. And I don't know physically if he'd be able to coach. It feels like Tyronn Lue is, you know, you'll do your job search and do your due diligence, and then you'll hand it to Ty Lue. That's the feeling that I have. I don't know anything other than just looking at this and what seems obvious. And then you start to wonder about some of these other openings and where does Doc Rivers work? There are reports now that, you know, there's friction with the 76ers, that, you know, it's not going to work with the process there. And who do you ship out? You know, can you get more for Embiid? You know, I think that's the big question there. And does Mike D'Antoni want the job if you don't have Joel Embiid? Does Doc Rivers want the job with Joel Embiid? Who wants Indiana? Victor Oladipo wants out. New Orleans, are you sold with that roster? We got the draft coming up. When is the draft, McLovin? I keep reading all of these stories about the next Ball brother coming in.
Wait, you mean this year's draft or next year's draft?
The NBA draft.
No, I'm just stalling.
Yeah.
I can't figure it out.
Yeah, so the
November 18th.
The Timberwolves are expected to draft LaMelo Ball if they don't trade the number one pick. I don't know, with Carl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell, if you want to bring in LaMelo Ball. It feels like this is not a great draft, getting that guy that is going to, you know, transform your team. Remember James Wiseman at Memphis? And, you know, here's a seven-footer, and, you know, he went there with Penny Hardaway, and then all of a sudden he got suspended. He's also in the mix as well, but I just, you know, is he a DeAndre Ayton kind of player? But LaMelo Ball could be the number one pick, and that means that the old man will be coming back to tell us how great he is. Yes, Paulie.
I like your guy Obi Toppin from Dayton. He's got power, and he can get it outside a little bit, and he'll probably develop. That's a freaky good athlete.
And I wonder what Golden State does, because do I want any of these players if I'm Golden State? I don't want LaMelo Ball. Who's the kid out of Georgia?
Anthony Edwards.
Yeah. And like, they're mixed reviews on him. So I don't know if there's anybody that you go, boy, that guy can't miss. And I don't know who that player would be. there will be players, obviously, that come out of this and you go, wow, how did that guy go when he went? Let me see. What else do we have here? I just saw this note. It says that Ty Lue has the Clippers interested in him. Also, the 76ers, the Rockets, and Pelicans are preparing to talk to him in coming days. This according to Brad Turner, who covers the NBA. Tyronn Lue is scheduled to meet with the 76ers Tuesday or Wednesday. Jeff Van Gundy is a name that you're going to hear about. I like Van Gundy a lot. I just don't know what kind of style he's going to want, and it's really about that. What kind of style do you want, and do you have the personnel to be able to pull that off? Jason Kidd, Sam Cassell is another name that's come up. Mark Jackson's name will come up as well. Mark Spears says that the Pelicans and 76ers have already reached out to Doc Rivers with their coaching vacancies. Well, it feels like there's about six or seven names here. And I'm going to guess if you're the Clippers, you jump on Ty Lue as soon as you can. But, you know, make no mistake about it. Any coach who's taken over for the Clippers, it's a must-win, an ultimate win-now team. You know, and you got the sixth man of the year in Montrezl Harrell. You got Lou Williams. You got Paul George, Kawhi Leonard. And don't tell me that now this isn't a good roster, because I heard all along, hey, Clippers, they're the favorite. Vegas has the Clippers. Now all of a sudden I got people saying, yeah, that roster is flawed. Where are these people before it's flawed? Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, but people told us Paul George was good, and that was not – he was very inconsistent in the playoffs.
He is good. He's not great.
He's sort of portrayed as great, like the second – like no. LeBron and Anthony Davis, Paul George and Kawhi.
Yeah, but you had a Clippers decision where you trade for Paul George and you have to trade Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who I would rather have him than Paul George. Danilo Gallinari, first-round picks, 2022, 2024, 2026. Two other first-round picks belonging to Miami, 2021, 2023, and they swap picks with Oklahoma City, 2023 and 2025. That's when you play and you put all your chips in the middle. You know, when you say, all right, I'm going to call your bluff. All the chips are in the middle of the table. It's a must-win situation. We'll take a break. Last call for phone calls, close up shop, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow, right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow. Jeff Perlman has written a new book. Nobody writes an old book, do they? So he's written a new book. Yep. He discusses his new book on the Lakers dynasty with Shaq and Kobe. It's called Three Ring Circus. He'll join us on the program tomorrow. Jamie in North Carolina joins us right now. Hey, Jamie, what's on your mind?
Hey, Dan. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good,
sir. Everybody's good and well, and COVID getting better. But I was just... I email Marvin sometimes and try and bother him and stuff. And I was just saying, I never put too much stock into the big rosters in the NBA Finals. I think it comes down to like a tight 8-9 guys that are really playing in their top level. You have a few of those subs you throw in there, but just as far as the Clippers go, I just didn't buy into it. So I was just saying, I'm going to be that guy and say I knew it the whole time.
Okay, you know? Well, good. Thank you, Jamie. If you called 3 weeks ago, then that would have been really timely there. But now all of a sudden, now that roster is flawed. Hey, you can't just throw these players together here. And I'm like, okay. LeBron somehow made this work, right? Brought in Anthony Davis, changed that roster there. But I think we have to be fair to the label that we put on players sometimes. Like when somebody, he's great. Like we say it and we don't even think about it. Paul George is not great. He's good. And a couple of years ago, he was great. He finished, I think, third in the MVP race last year. I just didn't see greatness with him. Now, it doesn't mean he can't be that again. I just didn't see it. And you know, maybe once they're out of the bubble and things will change a little bit there. But when we talk about the team that has the best two-way guards, defenders, it's the Clippers with Kawhi and Paul George. And I didn't see that. Lou Williams never, you know, got hot in the bubble. Montrezl Harrell. And I said this before, you know, any of this happened. I said, there's a sense of entitlement with the Clippers. Like, they believed that they were going to win a championship or that they had already won a championship. I'm sure they believed they were going to. They acted like they had already won a championship. And last I looked, when you check the roster, there aren't many guys on there that have won championships. And they played that way. And they didn't play with a sense of urgency. They didn't play with all the chips are in the middle of the table here. And Doc Rivers lost his job because of that. I had Fritz here reach out to Mike Florio. If the Titans would have to postpone their game with the Steelers this weekend, Florio says that there is a way to postpone the Steelers and the Titans game to Tennessee's bye week. That's week 7, but they'd have to move Steelers-Ravens from week 7 to week 8 when Pittsburgh and Baltimore have their byes, which isn't fair to those teams, but let's see if the Titans are able to practice. Because as it is now, I think everything is shut down until Saturday. I don't know how you prepare for the Steelers, two undefeated teams, if everything is shut down. Yeah, Paul.
What if the Steelers are also not allowed to practice just to make it even and they play ball on Sunday?
Fritzy just sent me a note. Lou Williams did get hot out of the bubble. Thank you, Todd. Thank
you. Worth consideration there.
Yeah, that's true. Wings. Magic Strippers? City. Yeah, Magic City.
Yeah.
Yeah, making it happen. Making it rain. Making it rain. Final results poll question. This day in sports history. Got baseball all night tonight. Yes, McLovin?
Everyone's still off the Ravens, or sorry, on the Ravens bandwagon. Right. 60% said they're not ready to jump yet.
Okay, good. Glad to have you. Paulie, this day in sports history?
1951, first network broadcast of a game in color college football. The game was University of California versus the University of Pennsylvania. Remember that one, Dan?
No, I don't.
No one does. Okay. 1992, Magic Johnson announced he was returning to play professional basketball.
That was a big deal. That was a big deal. He had that all-star performance that was unbelievable. Let's go around the room what we learned on the program. Todd, I'm going to start with you. What did you learn on today's program?
In the 90s, Keegan-Michael Key used to sing in a cover band at a coffee house on the campus of his alma mater, Detroit Mercy.
With the Eddie Vedder flannel tied around your waist there. That was a nice touch there. McLovin, what did you learn?
Lewis Riddick said he's going to get Patrick Mahomes right, the name, that is.
Yeah, he kept calling him Pat, and then Mahomes' mom tweeted out. Seton, what did you learn?
Spain is stacked, still the greatest call of all time. By show man. History, yeah.
Paulie, what did you learn?
Ross Tucker, man of his word, came on today.
What we learned brought to you by Traeger. You're not going to miss the stadium when you complete your home gating setup with a Traeger wood pellet grill, offering Wi-Fi connected convenience, real wood-fired flavor. Best way to take your game day from ordinary to epic. Learn more visiting the local Traeger dealer or head to TraegerGrills.com/DP show today. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on the Dan Patrick Show.